And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. Joining me on the Zoom line today via telephone is our good friend, Pastor John Vance. Pastor Vance, welcome.
Well, thank you, and it's a pleasure and blessing to speak with your audience today as we get close to Christmas.
Yeah, this is going to be more of a fireside chat. That illustration is a little more apt these days because we're outside the studio here. We have snow, and you had snow back in November, and the weather has gotten colder, so I kind of like this idea of a fireside chat, especially today.
Well, we've been using our fireplace for sure.
Yeah, there we go. So some folks may still not know that you at one point were my pastor, and you are a board member here at Redeemer, and we look to you for wisdom and guidance and a steady hand. So it's really nice to have you on with us today, Pastor Vance. Let's talk a little bit about Christmas. It's an exciting time. I remember when I was a kid, I got such a kick out of it, you know, with presents and mom and dad, and they'd make believe Santa Claus would come down the chimney, even though the chimney may have had a fire in it. And we had a lot of fun. Christmas reminds us of the Lord Jesus coming into this world. And that seems to have changed everything. So why don't you take it from there? Share some thoughts with us today, Pastor Vance, on Christmas.
You mentioned me being your pastor. You know that at Westminster, when I was there, we had great Christmas celebrations.
Yeah.
And it was a great time of the year. We had wonderful music. I don't know whether the music ministry is still as strong as it was, but we had a very strong music ministry.
Mm.
And wonderful services, the Christmas candlelight service. We would have to find places to pack them in the building. it was an exciting time. And of course, the blessing of seeing children being happy and chasing each other and the expectation. I sat down the other day and decided that I wanted to look to see what the pictures were like around Christmas time and Santa Claus and everything else when I was a kid. I won't go back and tell them how far that is. But anyway, it's changed dramatically the way they depict Christmas today from then as far as the artwork goes. It was a more joyful period. We didn't have people downgrading and denigrating Christmas at that time and so forth. It seems like whether you were Christian or not, you enjoyed the season and celebrated and so forth. And of course, the spirit of Christmas is wonderful. You know, brings back the voice of Bing Crosby. He was the voice of Christmas.
Yes.
I love to hear him sing in that resonant voice of his singing Christmas songs. When I think of Christmas back then, too, you know, there were movies. Now, I did not see some of these movies till I saw them later with my children. I wasn't too much into movies as a kid. And but The Miracle on 34th Street is a wonderful one, you know. And of course, Jimmy Stewart, who, by the way, was an elder in his church and a very faithful Christian. He starred in that movie that I saw with my kids. It's a Wonderful Life. I think we saw it every year at Christmas time with my kids. There is a side of Christmas that's just so celebratory and wonderful, and I'm confident that the churches see not only an increase in enthusiasm and so forth, but it's what it represents is so wonderful. And you said something that's the key. The whole world has changed because of that first Christmas. Now, Christmas as we know it didn't start till 100 years later. And it was a kind of a counter to pagan celebrations. And Christmas itself is not a pagan, rise out of paganism, as so many people say, and I've heard say over the years.
Yeah.
Simply not true.
Nope.
But anyway, we won't get into all of that. But the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world as Emmanuel to seek and to save the lost and to give hope to this world of ours. I mean, our churches and Christian people have every reason to celebrate and rejoice and enjoy this season.
Yeah, no question about it. I was blessed that as imperfect as they were, my parents were Christians. And so my brother and me were brought up in a Christian home. And, you know, it's in this world, things are never perfect. People fail you. But I thank the Lord that we had very sincere Christian parents. That makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Oh, it certainly does. I can remember Christmases as a kid. My first bike, well, I only had one bike. I got one, and I tore it up in 3 months trying to fix the gears. My father couldn't even put it back together, and he was a mechanic. So I really finished it off. But I did things. I got a BB gun and various things. So I remember Christmas more like that. But as I got older, and particularly in the pastorate, the fact that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost became the most wonderful thing to give hope in all the world. And yes, I was raised in a Christian home just like you, and it made the difference for sure.
Oh, no question about it. So today we're talking about Christmas, and we have our dear friend, Pastor John Vance, on with us. And yes, I was in his church for a number of years and leading up to his retirement. How long have you been retired now, Pastor Vance?
Well, 2013.
Okay, yeah.
I retired from teaching. You know, I always taught as an adjunct in college and so forth in 2011, then 2013. I taught to keep my intellectual side and learning side up, and it was a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
In 2011, then 2013, I retired from the church, and it doesn't seem like that long at all. But it's almost, 12 years, going on 13 years.
Quite a while already, and it seems just like yesterday. One of the areas you've studied a great deal, I believe, is world religions. And it seems to me, Pastor Vance, we're going through a time here in these United States where there's a strong influx of Islam, maybe more than ever. I don't know. Certainly, there's enclaves where they gather, and some of them were brought in intentionally in order to try to sway votes. Not a very good way to do it, but I guess it works. But how does it compare to Christianity? Does anything stand out in your mind?
Well, I taught Islam for a number of years to Muslim students. I don't know whether you knew that or not. I taught Islam, and I taught Buddhism as well, and Hinduism.
Yeah,
those three major religions. Islam is a different type of religion. It's not a religion in the sense that they use the word "din" for religion. It's a Arabic word, but it's a political system, in a sense, more than it is a religion. So therefore,
yes,
their attitude toward life and so forth, as long as Islam lives under the mandate to conquer the world with Islam, I think it's and I'm not an Islamophobe. I've met some wonderful Muslims.
Sure.
And so forth. But the truth is, the religion itself, if it's adhered to strictly, is entirely different than any other religion.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly doesn't have the attitude live and let live, that is for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And but they have a high view of Jesus, except he's not God, of course.
Yes.
He's not God. He has a high status. As a matter of fact, he is a messianic figure that is to come back at the end of history. They even believe that. It's an understanding of Jesus, of course, that is rooted maybe in in part, they bought more into the ancient heresy of Arianism.
Hmm.
Their view of Jesus was formed and framed through that heresy that says that Jesus truly is not God in human flesh, what we celebrate at Christmas. So therefore, Muslims do not celebrate Christmas in the way that we do at all, Jesus as coming into mm-hmm. the world, Emmanuel with us. As a matter of fact, places like Germany have experienced horrible times. Their Christmas, you know, they set up these Christmas fairs, I forget what they call it, and they have places and they celebrate Christmas. Well, they've been attacked by the immigrants that have come in from Muslim countries.
Yeah.
And it's been a dangerous place for the last few years. There have been a number of killings in Germany over the celebration of Christmas, the way Germans have historically done.
What I've learned over the years, and I could be mistaken, but it seems to me that the more consistent a person is with the Islamic system, the more tension and the more danger to Christians exists. And kind of a nominal Muslim who, you know, might be called a secular Muslim, to me is not nearly as dangerous as one who's very consistent with their system.
Don't hold me to this exactly, but at least at one time there were 57, Muslim countries? Everywhere Sharia law reigns, that's the political system for Islam, wherever it is enforced, every other person besides a Muslim has a second-class citizenship to some extent.
Yeah.
And in some places, Christians are persecuted regularly, such as in Egypt. Just pick out any country.
Yeah, we hear a lot from Nigeria right now.
Well, that's the worst. 30 a day Christians are being killed, approximately. Now, that may be wrong, yeah. But it was for a while around 30 a day, according to Open Door. I don't know what the situation is exactly now.
Mm-hmm.
But this world, you know, at Christmas time, when we veer into this kind of understanding of what's going on in our world, the spirit of Christmas also exacerbates certain aspects. Where Christians are minorities in certain countries, they are probably more persecuted. But even in our own country, Christmas is celebrated by lots of people, and rightly so, and it's a fun and joyful time.
Sure.
Joy to the world, we sing. But it exacerbates and exaggerates the loneliness and pain that people feel also.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Today we're talking about Christmas, and I probably got you off track a little bit asking about Islam, but the contrast is a huge contrast. What about that person that is taking it rough? It's they're alone. Maybe they've lost a loved one. I remember my dad, he was without mom for a number of years, and it was a lonely existence for him.
Well, I noticed this in the pastorate that, you know, at Westminster, we handed out baskets.
Yes.
And a number of things for Christmas. And I did in my home church growing up. We handed out, it was a mission. It was called the Mountain Mission. It was a mission in Charleston it was mainly almost a welfare service. We had part of it.
Yeah.
And we took thousands of baskets to people who needed clothing and everything. We did those things. It was a big operation. It's still a big operation today.
Mm-hmm.
And I would see the pain, particularly at Christmas time, with all the joy, and when people are lonely, they've lost loved ones, they don't have enough money to live on, they're just scraping by.
That's
their
right.
Electricity has been turned off. We used to pay for people to get their electricity turned back on.
Dear.
On and on and on, you see this. And when everyone seems to be happy and celebrating, then the contrast is,
yes,
it sharpens your own pain and hurt.
Yeah, no question about it. Let's talk a little bit about Christmas and what's significant about it? What's significant about Jesus coming into this world, Pastor Vance?
Well, let me just follow this line of thought just a second more. I've decided to read the prophet Isaiah and yeah. St. Luke's gospel together, and that's what I'm doing right now, just for my own edification. And Isaiah is the most magnificent book. The promise of the coming of a Messiah and what he means. It's an amazing work. And you see the prophetic spirit there prophesying of Jesus. And I don't see how those verses could apply to anyone but Jesus, Emmanuel. No. God will send a son is born. And then you think of Handel's Hallelujah Chorus, that it accentuates those passages and singing. It's an amazing thing. And then in St. Luke's Gospel, which is probably the fullest gospel, it's certainly the, I believe it's the longest. I'm not sure it's longer than Matthew, but I believe it is. But it's very full about Jesus compared to, let's say, Mark.
Yeah.
About his mission and so forth. Well, both those books talk about the darkness of the world that he came into. I'm reminded right. of a quote of Thomas Hobbes. He wrote that famous political work called Leviathan that people used to read a lot. I don't think people do much today, but Leviathan was published in the middle of the 17th century. But he has a famous quote there in that book, and I've used it in sermons, and I've used it in writing,
mm-hmm.
and he says, the life of man in the state of nature is solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short.
Hmm.
You know, if we consider the amount of suffering that goes on in this world,
that's right.
It's impossible to imagine what happens in many and various countries. We see such a small sliver of things. It's like looking out into space. There's so much more that we do not see.
Yeah.
And, of course, we focus on our own politics and our own situation here in this country, and we even hardly understood anything about Nigeria until recently. I've been following it for years, but most people are just now hearing about Nigeria.
That's true.
The persecution of Christians. So this is the world that Jesus came into. And at Christmas times, I tried to do two things in my preaching. Number one, I tried to offer hope. As a matter of fact, I don't preach very often, but I'm preaching this weekend, and I'm preaching on Matthew, Romans chapter 15, and I'm going to use verse 13. It's a wonderful a verse. This is the second Sunday of Advent coming up, if you're watching the Christmas
yeah.
calendar. But the verse that I'm going to emphasize is this one. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope.
Hmm.
What people need in a world like ours is hope.
Amen.
And God is called the God of hope.
Hmm.
What hope do you have apart from the living God? Because it is in him that we live and move and have our being.
Oh, that's so true.
There's a big hole, has to be, in people's hearts
yeah.
that have not come to the Maker
yeah.
through Christ.
There used to be an evangelist who spoke about the God-shaped hole in the human heart. And that's a nice analogy, because that's exactly what it is. Some of you out there are listening and saying, what are these guys talking about? And maybe you can relate to that something's missing. Something, as they might say, ain't quite right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Lord. If the Lord is missing, there's that God-shaped hole or vacuum or there's that missing element, and it's the most important element.
Well, Isaiah, as I told you, I've been reading, and I can't remember exactly where this is, but I'll quote it, roughly quote it. It's talking about the God of hope and knowing him.
Hmm.
It says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee."
Amen.
That is a wonderful promise. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. He did come into the world to seek to save the lost and to fill that, if you will, God hole in your heart that only God can fill, and his Son Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That is important. Because his mind is stayed on thee. It's wonderful to reflect and to be in prayer, knowing that that one who has created all things for his own glory, that underneath you are the everlasting arms of a loving God.
No question about it.
Who so much loved you that he sent his Son into the world.
Amen.
That's the Christmas message.
Yeah, no question. We do get sidetracked easily. This is a problem that I have. I'll see something flash up on the screen or my cell phone, or I get interrupted with a call and never get back to what it was that I was doing. But that can be detrimental spiritually, getting sidetracked all the time. We do need to spend some time and focus. You mentioned reading Isaiah and reading the book of Luke. Maybe our listeners today can take that as a homework assignment from this little fireside chat today and read it for yourself, dear listener. It's rich, and I will try to do the same. Pastor Vance, we have about 4 minutes left, 3 or 4 minutes. I like to personalize this towards the end of our discussion. And for that person that is lonely today and seeking and has this God-shaped vacuum or hole in your heart, continue addressing that person today, Pastor John Vance.
Of course, one of the most rewarding sections of the Bible to read are the Psalms. When I first came to Westminster, there were a number of still yet Scottish people, Scottish Presbyterians.
Oh, yes.
And they had come from the old country, about three of them.
Yeah.
And they still had the Scottish brogue, and they called the Book of Psalms the Book of Sams.
Oh, yes.
The Sams. And so I got a kick out of that. In fact, one of the little old ladies, her name was Mina Brown. Every Christmas, I got some shortbread from her.
Aww.
She would bake me some shortbread for Christmas. Now, I don't know how shortbread is exactly made, but I know that it took, for her anyway, a lot of kneading. She was old. She was well in her 90s, and she was still making me shortbread. One Christmas, wow, she came to me. She says, "Pastor, I don't think I can make any shortbread this year. I'm just not strong enough."
Oh, the poor
and
girl.
So she wasn't able to make the shortbread.
Yeah.
But when you turn to the Psalms, and I do often for health and strength, if you will,
yeah,
for my mind to be healthy and strength to go on in life and to pray and to do what I need to do. But in Psalm 36:9, there is a verse that I like. And it says this, "For with thee is the fountain of life," that is, with the Lord. And then it says, "In thy light do we see light."
Oh, yeah.
Now, not only is this a world that needs hope, it's a world that needs light.
Yes.
And we can see this in the political realm today. And a very simple illustration of darkness is that we actually think that gender and it's fluid,
yeah,
that these unworkable schemes that people seem to think in the economic realm, that socialism is going to work, which always needs authoritarianism.
Oh, it
and
never
creates
works.
creates an elite that's going to run and rule your life.
Yeah.
Socialism cannot be implemented without force.
That's true.
You have to take away from some to give to others. And as Margaret Thatcher says, then you run out of money.
Then you run out. That's true.
But we need light, not only
yes,
in
amen.
The political realm, but we need light in the in our everyday lives to be able to negotiate life. So Jesus is the light of the world. I wrote a prayer yesterday to be used Sunday as a corporate prayer. And I spent a lot of time on it, and I was struggling trying to get things right in the corporate prayer that we're going to use. And one of the things that I wanted to include is that Jesus came into the world as light and life from this verse. He is light and life. And that's the hope that we have. You know, Amen. I started off with that passage in Romans, the hope, the God of hope. And the reason that we have hope is because Jesus is light and life. And to embrace him, is to embrace that. Not only do you have life, eternal life, beating, if you will, in your system, in your being, in your mind, you have the light of Christ to see things the way they are. I don't think you really enter into reality in the deepest possible way until you know Christ.
Yes, I agree with that. That's a good note to end on. Today we've been talking with our friend, Dr. John Vance. And if you want to send an email to him, just send it to the ministry and I'll forward it. Our email address is ministry@redeemerbroadcasting.org. And Pastor Vance, we may talk again between now and actually Christmas Day, but if I don't get to talk with you, may the Lord bless you and your family and your occasional preaching. I hope it goes well this Lord's Day. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, and Merry Christmas to all.
Dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.